Jesus, I surrender all to Him.
two songs together, making one spiritual move. Hallelujah. God is good, amen? Praise God. Everybody's quiet today and ready? I heard so many wonderful things, all the singing, all the music. I heard there's a special testimony that was pretty touching too, Mr. Dave, so all was good. Can you all stand up and pray with me? And remember, this prayer did not come from man. It came from who? Hallelujah. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. And ever, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Be seated, church. Be seated, church, in the name of God. Hallelujah. Let's see what Marilyn has planned for us today. Y'all read Psalm 51 with me. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your love kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Hallelujah. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Hallelujah. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Hallelujah. This is Psalm 51. Do you know what makes this Psalm special? This is the one that David wrote after he committed those sins with Bathsheba. All the things that he did that he knew were wrong. He got on his knees, and this is the prayer that he prayed. This is the psalm that he wrote. For who? For us. There's one thing you have to do with God. When you read that, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. How many times have you said that in your life? You can't number them. There's one more thing you have to do. And I'm going to say the word have. Say that with me. Have. You have to do. You have to forgive who? You. You have to forgive yourself because Jesus died on that cross for one reason, for your salvation. And when you deny the salvation, when you deny the forgiveness, you deny the whole reason why you love Jesus. Amen? Why you go to church on Sunday and hear the word. You deny that receiving his forgiveness is the greatest gift that he given to us. Amen? And when you read, listen to David. He was on his knees because of what he did. And he's saying, Lord, first he's saying, have mercy on me. He's asking for what? Forgiveness. And he said, not according to me, Lord, but according to your love kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies. And then he's telling God what? Blot out my transgressions. How many have ever done a transgression? I'm telling you what. Yes. And then he's saying, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. And he says, for I acknowledge my sin, and my sin is always before me. And then he tells him something. This is very, says, you need to see that he said, against you and you alone I have sinned, not against any other person. He said, I've done this evil in your sight. And he said, he's telling him that so nobody can blame God. Amen? Because people blame God for a lot of things. But he's telling God, I know that I did this. And I did it in your sight. And I sinned against you. And so I say this, Lord, so that you can be judged blameless because it was me. But then listen to this next line. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. He's already asking God for what, Lisa? He's asking God for a favor. Here he just committed murder. He committed adultery. He committed all the sins that you think are the worst sins that God can never forgive you for. And here David is on his knees. And after he asks for forgiveness, the very next line, what is he doing? He's asking God to bless him. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. And he's saying, do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me in your generous spirit. And then listen to what he closes with. That I will teach transgressions your way, and sinners shall be converted to you. That's David talking to who? God. For salvation. For who? For us. You must accept the forgiveness. I've talked to more people who say, you don't know what I've done in my life. People in the military. I spoke to somebody just recently in the military when I was fighting. You don't know the things I've done. I said, God knows what you did. And he knows your heart. And you've asked him to forgive you. You asked him to give you a clean heart so that you can continue and tell other people about who? God. You must accept the forgiveness, or you're living in you're living all bound up in something that you created for yourself. Amen. Our God is the God of forgiveness. How many times have I told you, when you walk through the gates of heaven, and I believe each and every one of you are going to do because you love Jesus, you're going to be very surprised who's standing there to greet you. Because somebody, just that last chance, said, Lord, forgive me. And there they stand, because he is the most forgiving, loving, tender-hearted person you're ever going to meet. Amen? That's your God. Can you give him praise, church? Hallelujah. I received something in the mail, and I needed this as a pastor. I needed to hear this as a pastor. Because it's my heart to serve you the Word of God, to raise you with the Word of God. And I try to stay humbler than humble. My wife's always telling me, I drive her crazy because I want to forgive. I want to lift up no matter who and what comes against me. And I want to read to you an email that I received. The church, Pastor Larry, is more alive than I've ever seen it in the more than 40 years I've been part of Scouts in the basement. Keep up the great work, Randy. I needed that. I needed that. I didn't ask him for it. He's told, and that's God to me. Somebody lifting me up without asking. Now, hey, what do you think of the church? How do you think we're doing? No, he gave that to me. I believe God gave him that to give to me. And let me tell you, my heart prays to be Mark-like, Luke-like, Matthew, Peter, Paul, James. My heart is to preach and teach and to build a church simply on fire for God. Are you with me? Changing your lives. Whose lives? Your lives. Yes, the sheep know the shepherd's voice. The shepherd tends to the flock. The entire flock, never wanting to lose one. You see, you might see the church in different ways, but I see it as Jesus. I see God. I think of each and every one of you in ways that maybe you don't understand. I miss Doreen and Paul. Amen? Aisha. How many, David, you remember Aisha? Pray for her all the time. She's on our Facebook.
Married and pregnant.
Yes, and that's right. She's married and going to have a child, by the way. Yeah. Wendy and John. How many remember Wendy and John and Bob and Edna? I pray for them every day. See, I'm the shepherd. See, it's not a club I was. See, I had friends come when we first started, and Dave would be the first to tell you. We had a lot of friends come, Jimmy, and they came to help us and support us. But friends don't support. After a while, they have other things to do. But people who come to the church and want to build a church and build a garden outside or put flowers in the front or play music for the potluck or do the music like you did last week and Deacon Gary preaching like he did last week, those are people who want to be part of God's house, amen, and having elders and having deacons. You see, that's the other thing. I have the heart of a pastor. And let me just say this, because I wrote this out. The sheep know the shepherd's voice. The shepherd tends to the flock, the entire flock, never wanting to lose one. How many know that Flo's not here today? She's not here. Do you notice that she's not here today? I noticed right away. Yes, you hear the voice, you hear my voice, and have come to trust my voice. But let it be always, let me say this again, let it be always, though it is my voice, it is always His word that you hear. Amen? Life changing, His word. Even to the point that if my words stray from God's teaching, that you will know the error of the way. That is the heart of a pastor. That is what we're building here. That is why I spent 25 years of my life devoted to God. And it said, many are called, but few are chosen. You know why? Because few want to take that time. The hours that I had, the weeks and months that I had no television in my room, that I ate everything I could out of the Bible, and I found every good book by every reverend that I could read, from Billy Graham to everybody you can think of. Because my heart was to do this, to build a church in Him, to bring people to Him so that you could be a strong and strong-willed and know God, that it'll change your life too. Amen? That's what we're doing here. And I'm so proud, if I can be proud in a good way, of what I heard about last week. So proud of seeing where this church has come to and what they're doing and how well everybody did as a family in Christ. But I tell you this, if I stray from the Word of God, if I start making anger stuff and getting you angered and getting you things and talking opinion and going on and on about things that aren't in this book, people will start to leave. They will. Amen. I know that there's churches, and I'm going to say this honestly. God sent me here. David called me to be here. He sent me here to do this. And I am your shepherd. And I know that there's churches that believe that every once in a while they'll take the shepherd and put him somewhere else. Then how can you ever know the sheep? How can you ever know the flock when you go from here to here to here? And even some of those people on TV who I watch. And you know who they are. They're wonderful men of Christ. But they're standing there in front of 10,000 people, and I say, Lord, how can they know? How can they know each other? How do you know the needs of your people? You see, that's the pastor. We have beautiful children here today and a friend visiting with us again. My heart is happy to see you because this is God's house, and we want you to feel like you're a family with us, even though it might be the first time in a while that we've seen you. Because this is the way it's supposed to be. Not anger. I don't want you angry at the world. I don't even want you worried about the world. You hear a lot of hate on TV and the politicians are speaking all this. It's crazy, isn't it? So I want you to turn that off and turn on God. And after a while, you'll be like me. I don't watch it anymore. I don't listen to it anymore. Because it doesn't edify anybody. It doesn't lift me up. It doesn't encourage me. The Bible encourages me. And I love you more than you will understand. It's not a job, it's a calling. Amen? Thank you, Marilyn, for putting from the pastor's desk in this week. But as a testimony, I want to read this today. It's in your bulletin, but I want to read it today. I believe. Can you say that with me? I believe. I believe that prayer works. I had somebody here 2 weeks ago, husband, I love the guy. I said, we'll put him on our prayer list. She said, no, don't bother. My heart ached, because I want to put him on the prayer list, not because we're special, but because I want his name lifted up as many times as possible. Are you with me? That's what church is all about. I wanted to pray for him. I believe that prayer works. I believe, I believe our prayer life is our personal time with God, whether we are asking out of need or simply thanking God for another day. Amen? I believe. Say that with me. Yeah. I believe that prayer actually builds our faith, for it takes our eyes off of what we can't do and puts our heart into what God can do for us. Amen? Do you believe? Say so if you believe. I believe that there is power in numbers. The Bible says two or more gather together praying in one accord. Remember, the word says two or more. I like more, with more being the operative word. More people praying together. I believe that if Second Congregational begins to pray the prayer of faith together, God will hear from heaven and answer. So I say, let us become a church not only of faith, but a church of prayer. Let us stay strong, focused on God's ways for the blessings of all, our home, our family. I believe God can. I believe God will. Who will pray with me? Will you pray with me the prayer? Thank you, Lord. We stand here humble. We stand here humble. We knowing that we need you. We need your word, your answer. We see the world's answer to all the stress and the anger and all the frustrations that's going to get them nowhere. It's not going to lift anybody up. It's not going to heal anybody. It's not going to help anybody. I know that if we stand in prayer together and forgive each other and love each other and pray for one another, believing that you hear, I believe it changes our hearts, changes our minds and our thoughts and our feelings. We're no longer alone. We're no longer depressed. We no longer have anxiety. We no longer worry about tomorrow because we know you have tomorrow taken care of. I believe, Lord. I believe that prayer, forgiveness, love is the answer to all the things that we face. I've seen it many times. I've seen how forgiveness works. I've seen how amazing grace works. How amazing grace heals both parties. That's the way you want it to be. I believe, Lord. I believe that you hear our prayers. I believe it because it says so in the Word of God. I believe that if two or more are gathered together, you are in their midst. And what a feeling just to think you are with us. I believe that you inhabit the praise of your people. So I believe when we praise you here at Second Congregational, it's not just noise. I believe when we're praising you, you inhabit this church. This church, just like Paul and Mark and Luke and John and James, the churches that they built and left them with your word, I believe that your presence is here and lifting us and healing us. I believe that my brother Dave is sitting there because of the prayers of all of us, the prayers of all of us, how you reached out and you healed him and healed his family and bringing more joy now and more peace to his heart than he could have ever imagined. I believe that when you take care of a situation, it becomes so much different in ways that no, we can't put in words, but we can't stop telling people what you do for us. I believe, as my friend Bill said, that his son Gary was sent to Florida and he got blessed and blessed with things that he never thought he would receive, little things, but he could see God's hand in that. He got a baseball from a New York Met because he was there. I believe that God said, here, you need a blessing. Here, let me show you that I'm with you. And Bill said, I saw that. And God had that. And I'd say, Lord, thank you. Thank you that Bill said it was God that did it. We all need to see that where we are today is because God brought you here today. And if he brought you here today, he has so much more for you. I believe. I believe we need to pray more. I believe we need to lift our deacons up, as the Bible says. I believe that we need to lift Elder Pat up because the elders of the church pray for the sick. And the prayer of faith heal the sick. I'm believing for two more elders. I'm believing that they're going to say yes. I'm believing that they're going to say yes. I know they're humble and they're afraid. But God doesn't care about you being afraid. And he doesn't care about when you're ready. He's called you. I believe they're going to say yes. And the church will be stronger when we do things according to the Word of God. I believe that miracles are just beginning in this church. I believe that things that we can't even believe, things that we could just dream about, are going to happen in this church because we're calling on Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I believe that today. And Lord, I just pray that everybody in this church, our family, will believe with me without doubting. In Jesus' name I pray. Praise God. Can I get some praise? Not for me, for the Lord. I believe we should have a night of prayer. I believe it should be right here. We should have my bride praying for the ladies, Elder Pat praying for the ladies, Fred, Nancy praying. I believe that we all need to come together and pray for one another, pray for our dreams, pray for our church, pray for our children. I believe that we should have a night of prayer. Amen. Can I get an amen? Just a night of prayer. We haven't had that. I think we need to have more of that, where people can come together and come up to me and I can pray and we can pray for one another and pray for our country, of course, and pray for our leaders, of course, but pray for our lives so that we can see God involved in the little things in our life so that we can start praying for bigger things and believing for it instead of just singing God Bless America like it's a song. It's a prayer. And I believe that this young lady should play all the music that night without any singing. Can I get an amen? I believe she should just play all the songs she wants to play. And if we know one of the songs while she's playing it, maybe we could sing along. But I believe this church would be so lit up and so warm and so loving if we just pray together. I asked George Marsh a question last night, and I'm going to tell everybody. I'm sorry, George. I asked him, are you as happy today with Miss Elaine as you were the first night that we met her in Newtown? And he said he's happier. And I said, praise God. Don't lose the joy. Amen. Don't lose the joy. Cindy and Dave, we love you. I'm so happy for you two. You have so much in front of you now to grow and have happiness. Let go of anything that's holding you back, because God has something for you now. And it's even more of a time for you to just grab on and enjoy what God has. Amen. I believe that, Deacon Jim, that you should sing more. I believe that the people love your singing. I believe that that's the kind of thing that we need to do for one another. I believe that all the anger that you hear on TV is for nobody's gain. Nobody's gain. You can never gain anything by being angry. You first gain by forgiving. Has anybody ever had anything come against you? I'm sure we all have. The first thing you do is forgive. I believe that God will heal the rest. You got to hang on to the joy. And let me tell you about joy. How many know the word joy and the word happy? Listen to the difference, because the Bible never says happy. You ever notice that? Sir, you ever notice that the happy is not in the Bible? Happy. No. But what's the word? Joy. Let me tell you the difference. Happy is feeling or showing pleasure or contentment. That's happy. I'm happy when the Yankees win. Right? Mary's happy when the Cowboys win. You're happy. Later on, you forget about it. That's, you know, happy's a... Well, listen to joy. Joy is a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. You hear the difference? Joy, a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. In other words, when joy is in your heart, you have it. It stays with you, Chuck. It's not something that passes and comes and goes because the Yankees won and you're happy, but the next day you lose, they lose, and you're not happy anymore. But when you're happy with the one you love, when you're happy with your family, when you're happy, when you have joy, unspeakable joy, it stays with you. It changes you. People see that. Let me tell you something. When you're happy and you're talking good reports, guess what? People want to be around you. People want to hear what you have to say. People want to be near you because you're kind and compassionate. That's joy. Amen? Give them. Come on, church. Praise them now. I'm going to take some of the burden off of your worry if I can. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to use the words of Solomon. Anybody know who Solomon? Remember who Solomon is? Son of David? The wealthiest man in the world, Chuck. He had everything. He had everything you can ever desire to think you ever wanted and have. In fact, it says it right in here. He said, I made my great works, my works greatest. I built myself houses. I planted myself vineyards. I made myself gardens and orchards. I planted all kinds of fruit trees. I acquired male and female servants and had servants born in my house. Yes, I had great possessions of herds and flocks. Then all of who were in Jerusalem before me. And he said, I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the special treasures of kings and of provinces. I acquired male and female singers, the delights of the Son of Man, and musical instruments of all kind. He said, so I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. He said, whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. He had whatever. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my reward from all my labor. He had how much? Everything. But did he have joy? No. No. Because he saw the vanity of it all. And he's the one in the Bible that uses the word vanity. Jesus never did. But he's telling us some things that take the pressure off your life. He's not telling us that to say don't achieve, don't reach for it. He's telling us that that's not where the happiness is. That's not where your joy comes from. Can I get an amen? Then he said, then I hated all of my labor. Listen to this. This is where greed and false comfort and all these things. He said, then I hated all my labor in which I toiled under the sun, because I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool. Yet he will rule over all my labor in which I toiled and in which I have shown myself wise under the sun. Hallelujah. Joy or happiness? Thank you, Lord. And listen to what he tells us. What profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the works that God does from beginning to end. He uses the word eternity. Isn't that interesting? Because you have something that Solomon doesn't have. Anybody want to guess what that is? You have something Solomon did not have. Hallelujah. Say that again. You have Jesus. He talked about eternity. Jesus came, died on the cross to give us what? Eternity. But he's talking about that. He said he put eternity in their hearts. He says, and listen to these three lines in the Bible. Listen to this. He says, I know that nothing is better for them to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor, because it is the gift of God. And Solomon says, I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken away. Amen. We met two boys at Disney. They were sat with us on the train ride, both 20 years old, both going to Penn State, both studying law. When the other one studying law too, honey? Oh, he was psychology. Let me find a job, psychology. And I looked at them and told them that I was a pastor, and they were excited, and I told them, Joanne, find what you love to do and do that. The Bible says, find what you love to do and do that. Find the job that you find where your heart will be happy doing that job. And when you find that job, you will find happiness. Amen. Because God will give you the joy of your labor. Amen. Say that with me. Joy of your labor. I like that. And it says here, the value of a friend. I love this little part. Solomon says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. But if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Imagine having nobody to pray for you, nobody to help you, nobody to call on God for you, nobody to give you the compassion. Woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him. That's somebody who doesn't have God, somebody who doesn't believe God, somebody who doesn't believe in God. Imagine having a family and children and not believing in God when something happens. Where do you go? What do you do? What do you say? Woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Solomon is telling us to serve God. He's saying, serve God. He will hold you together. Lift up together as a family. Amen. I know we talk about that a lot. Pat, that this is a family in God. And it showed last week. It showed last week that everybody lifted each other up, becoming a church, becoming his bride. You're going to see the flowers in the garden again, Art and Gladys put out there. Those are for us, the blessing, the people are happy. The things that everybody's doing in the church, the flowers in the front, the seat cushions that we sit on. Amen? That's the family coming together and lifting up God as a family together. Amen? Are you with me? Hallelujah. Thank you, Nancy. And he says this, he who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. That's just two lines, but does that make sense to you? Let me explain that again. He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. If that's where your love is, you never have enough. Amen? And when you never have enough, that's all you think about. There's a show I love on TV. You see, it's called Gold Rush. It's about those guys that go to Alaska and they dig the ground up. They got 300 ounces. 3,000 ounces, you made it? They got over $3.5 million last year. $3.5 million of gold. And you know what they're saying? They're not happy. They're not satisfied. They're waiting. They need the big one. And they'll never get to what they want because the increase just makes want more. Amen. So he's telling us here not to love the increase, not to work so hard in your life that you never get to enjoy the life, never get to enjoy the fruits of your what? Your labor. And Solomon is telling us that. Because if you love wealth, you'll never have enough. If you love gold, you'll never have enough. If you love money, you'll never have enough. Because what you have, you want more. It'll never be. And I always look, and it confuses me. Well, I guess a bad thing. I look at drug dealers. You ever see them on TV when they catch these drug dealers and they go in, Chuck, and they show, and they have a table full of money that looks like $100 million. And I'm thinking, well, how much money was enough? When did that, and that wasn't even the issue anymore. You see, the want is in the wrong area. If you want God to lead you, he will lift you up. He will lead you and he will feed you. Amen? And he will give you the fruits of your labor if you do what you love to do. And the Bible said it's a blessing from God. There's a man, baseball player. The team offered him $25 million for 7 years. $25 million a year for 7 years. And he said that he was not respected. The offer wasn't respectable. And my heart was sad. Not that he doesn't deserve it or whatever. My heart was sad because this man, who played for a team that the whole world knows, and he was a star, he had achieved everything that you want to as a sports player, amen? He was a great player, but he all of a sudden said $25 million a year for 7 years isn't enough. So he went to play for another team because they simply offered him 3 more years. Not any more money, just 3 more years. And now, in the last 2 years, the team was in last place, and that's not as important as he went to a place where nobody knows him anymore. That part of his career he gave away. But the thing that the Bible is telling us, and listen to this, the Bible is telling us, other people are going to spend his money. Generation after generation. Other people are going to spend his money on whatever they want to spend it on. They don't even have to know his name. Other people are going to do things generation to generation with the stuff that he had because it wasn't enough. And it's never enough. But with you, if you'll start today and say, I have enough today. Let me build on it with God. I have enough today. Let me build on it tomorrow with God. Let me give the desires of my heart. Let me show God my determination to do what my heart tells me to do. And God will lift me up. I know he will. Chuck, I've been telling you for how long to do that hobby you're talking about. The labor of your love. And God will lift you up in ways you don't understand. And I believe for you. I pray for you. I believe for you that you have joy, unspeakable joy, yet in front of you. Because of God. Amen? Hallelujah. A good name is better than precious ointment. Amen? Solomon says, it is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the songs of fools. How many know about that? Anybody ever hear the songs of fools? I know I spoke it a few times in my life. Amen? Anybody ever say that? Can you say that? It's better to hear the rebuke of the wise. Somebody come up and give you a good word, even though you might not want to accept it, than for a man to hear the song of fools. People raising you up and praising you that have nothing to offer you. Amen? This wisdom I have also seen under the sun, and it seemed great to me. Then Solomon said, there was a little city with a few men in it, and a great king came and against it, besieged it, and built a great snares around it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city, yet no one remembered the same poor man. Then I said, Solomon said, wisdom is better than strength. Amen? When you know God and you lose the anxiety, isn't that better than strength? When you know God and you're not worried anymore, isn't that better than strength? Because God heals. Say that with me. God heals. Hallelujah. And he says, words of the wise spoken quietly. Spoken how? Should be heard. Rather than the shout of a ruler of fools. And listen to these two lines, and I've been telling you this. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. I tell you all the time, we don't need weapons of war to defeat what's happening in those other countries. We need wisdom, amen, to stand up against it. That's what we need. If everybody stood up against it, we would fight and we would win the battle without fighting with the tools of war, amen? I believe that. Stand as one to break the spirit of evil, and no battle is needed. Amen? And in closing, and moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright words of truth. And then I will tell you again, the sheep know the master's voice. The shepherd knows the shepherd's voice. And the shepherd knows all of his sheep. And that is so important. And he said, the words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. A goad is a metal, sharp metal tip attached to a handle. And it used to be used to prod oxen, cattle. But in this word, the goad is a wise word or important truth that might be unpleasant when first applied, but will keep us moving in God's direction. Amen? He said, the words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. And further, my son, be admonished by these. Admonished by these. Solomon says, of making many books there is no end, and much study is wearisome for the flesh. So he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and his commandments. Keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Can I get an amen? Amen. Now say with me, God is peace. God is comfort. God is wisdom. God heals our land. And God heals our hearts. Let us stay focused on the Word of God. Let us grow stronger. Let's have that prayer night. Let's have the things that we're praying about. Let's come together, because there's a new movement ahead. As we said 6 months ago, and now there's another 6 months, there's a new movement ahead, and we need to be one body. Amen? God is the answer. Give Him praise, church. It's good to be on that cross. The blood that He shed for our sins. For our sins, to give us that the righteous attitude to enter the throne room and pray. The forgiveness that He gives us must be accepted. As we celebrate Jesus, as we do this in remembrance of Jesus, let it be in your heart just thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for what He did that you did not ask Him for. He did it for you. In Jesus' name. He did it for you. Thank you, Lord. Accept it. Love him, hold him, cherish him. Worship him. Thank you, Lord. If you have decisions to make in your life about a job or about anything in your heart, give it to God. He will direct your path. He will direct your path. He will lead you. If you turn to the left, God will bring you back. If you turn to the right, I know that he will bring you back. If you falter, he will fix it. He can do that. But you must accept him. You must accept the forgiveness. You must accept the love. Just pray in your heart what brings you joy. Pray in your heart what is right to do. And just think of the costs. Being away from your family or being away doing things that will just cause you stress. That's not what God wants for you. Things that cause you worry, that's not what God wants for you. He will lead you. I believe that. I believe he leads you. And I believe that if you pray, he will put doors in front of you that you will not be able to walk through. He will keep you safe. I believe that. I believe. I believe that we should pray before we make these decisions. Whatever we do in our lives, we should pray about it. Ask God to show us. Ask God to confirm what you're praying for. Thank you, Lord. It'll come from the strangest places, but he will. He will. Say that with me, church. He will. He will confirm his word. But you first must accept and give him thanks in remembrance for what he did for us in Jesus' name. The Bible says he took the wine and blessed it and poured it into a cup. And he said, "This is my blood being shed for you, according to the book of Matthew, for the remission of your sins." And he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Today to enjoy each other. You have a chance today to enjoy the sunshine and the warmth and the spring. Thank him for that. Say, "That's enough for today, Lord." And he'll pour blessings upon you. Just as your children, when they thank you for a gift that you give them, when they thank you for the toy that you give them or for the help that you give them, when they thank you and they thank you, what do you want to do? Tell me, church, you want to give them what?
More.
You just can't contain yourself. I want to give him more because I love the feeling. God is waiting. Just thank him for the day. Thank him that you have your mate with you today. You can hold hands and look in each other's eyes and be blessed with that. And then move from there, and God will just start pouring blessings. Oh, they're thanking me. Oh, well, let me show them. Oh, they think that's special. That's my God. That's the God that we preach about. That's the God I believe. That when you come here, that's the God we want to tell you about. So when you leave here, you want more of that God. Thank you, Deacon. I believe that. I believe that. As we thank him, and we believe, and we receive, and we thank him, and we receive, and we thank him, that he cannot stop giving because his children love him. That's our God. And he asked that we simply do this morning in remembrance of him, in Jesus' name. I believe. Can I get anybody to believe with me?
I believe.
I believe in your prayers. And if you're praying amiss, I believe that God will show you. And if you're praying for a job, I believe that God will not just show you one, he'll show you many. I believe that God will give you choices. And I believe that God will give you things you never thought possible. And he will lift you and put you in places you never thought possible if you'll simply believe and walk with him. Let go of the doubt. Let go of the worry. Let go of the anxiety. Let go of anything that's not of him. The habits you have in your life that's destroying your body, I believe, get rid of them and God will heal you. And you will be happy. And those you love will be happy. And you'll have more joy with those that you love. See, the blessings will pour out on you. I believe. I believe that Greg's going to be playing with us again before he even knows it. I believe that the miracle of healing is happening even now. I know that God has blessed the doctors, and I know he's got a good report and he's feeling good, but that ain't good enough for me. I believe that God's got a miracle for him. Say, get up and do it. I believe that he can do it. I believe he can do it. I believe. I don't care what the doctors say. I believe that Nancy's going to be healed. I believe that she's going to be stronger. I believe it. And I'm not going to doubt it. I'm not going to waver. I believe that Flo will be back next week and we'll find joy with her and we will lift her up. I believe that. I believe that she needs our love. And I believe that she tells other people about our love. And I believe that we need to be strong together, lifting up those that are weakest. And I believe that God will honor the church. I believe that healing begins here. I believe that our new friends that came again today, that I hope that they receive God's love and come back here because they feel like this is a home where God is being preached and they can have strength. And we love the children, Lord. We are so blessed this morning to have the children, the future of our world here today with us today. Thank you, Lord. You're a great God. We just love you, Lord. I believe.
I believe.
Praise, give him praise, church.